Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from the MTS Center Press Box, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined just above the blue line by my colleague, Richard Pollock, and Michael Remus as our producer. A very entertaining game tonight where the Winnipeg Jets defeated the New York Islanders by a 5-4 margin in overtime. Really, an up-and-down game, a back-and-forth game, and to the credit of the man to my right, about 4 hours ago, during Hustler and Lawless, he predicted it was going to be a 5-4 final. So let's start off with kudos to you there, Mr. Pollock, for that.
Thank you, Drew. I'll when, you know, broken clock is right twice a day, right?
So yeah, exactly right. You're too humble. You're too humble for your own good. Let's start breaking down this game in that, oh boy, that was an entertaining third period, let me tell you.
You know what, Drew? It was an entertaining game period. And yeah. The second was probably the most uneventful. In terms of action both ways, but overall the game was fun. And you know what, the best games, the most fun games are the ones that are a little bit sloppy, that have some turnovers.
That's right.
That aren't completely systematically taken down by the coaches, and I thought tonight was a great example of that.
Yeah, 6 third period goals tonight.
Awesome.
So, which helped lead to the Jets' 5-4 victory. The Islanders got on the score sheet first. A goal by Ullstrom. He scored at the...
David Ullstrom.
Yeah. David Ullstrom scored at the 2:34 mark of the first period. What happened was the Jets had the puck at the offensive blue line. They were pressing on the Islanders. A bad turnover by Toby Enstrom. Ullstrom takes the puck, comes down the left-hand side, and beats Al Montoya, who was playing for Andrei Pavlik tonight, beats him with a clean shot. You know, the start of a bad night for Jets defenseman Toby Enstrom.
You want to delve a little bit deeper into what actually happened on the play, and the Jets are in an offensive zone faceoff, and what they did, because the Islanders had retired, I believe there was a timeout called because the Islanders retired, and then the Islanders iced the puck, and the same unit was on again, almost for 2 minutes, and what happened was the Jets... they switched Byfuglien and Enstrom on the sides, their sides, meaning that Byfuglien played the left side on the off the faceoff, and Enstrom played the right. And the point of that is, well, when you have a tired grouper on the power play, where they do actually utilize that all the time, is you don't care so much about picking the puck off the boards. You want the one-timers to be easily accessible. So the Jets win the faceoff against a tired unit. Byfuglien takes the puck on the left side when he's usually on the right. He passes the puck to Enstrom. And instead of Enstrom getting rid of it right away as a left-handed shooting guy in his off wing, he pauses and loses the puck, and Ullstrom comes down and scores. And if you saw the next time the Jets had the same opportunity for a faceoff, they flipped them back to where their usual spots. And then on the power play, they used them on their off wings.
That's what led to the Islanders' first goal at the 2:34 mark. The Jets responded about 8 minutes later, 10:15 mark of the first period. On Alexei Ponikarovsky with his first as a Winnipeg Jet, assist to Kyle Wellwood and Toby Enstrom, the aforementioned Toby Enstrom. Really, that was an example of what we had been talking about throughout the pregame show. The Islanders wouldn't be able to handle a sustained Jets forecheck. The Jets were forechecking hard in behind Evgeny Nabokov. Wellwood comes out from behind the net with the puck after the forecheck, flips it right across... backhand pass right in front of the net to Alexei Ponikarovsky, and he hammers it past Evgeny Nabokov to make it 1-1. Very nice play by everybody involved for the Jets.
Remistrov starts the forecheck, gets in deep, gets a big hit, strong on the puck. Wellwood makes a beautiful pass. Ponikarovsky goes to where he needs to go, in front of the net as a big player, and they capitalize. So that was some nice sustained pressure by a third line, and a third line that can create offense, I think. So that was a nice boon, and Ponikarovsky getting his first goal of the year is always helpful for his confidence as well.
Exactly right. I'll give you credit yet again.
Oh.
In the pregame show, you said that you think that Alexei Ponikarovsky is going to be the unsung hero for the Jets today, and you thought he was going to score his first goal of the season, and he did. So double credit to you.
Broken clocks, right?
Twice.
Yes,
so there you go. That's
day,
twice.
Right?
Yeah. That's twice. 5:13 mark of the second period. The Jets take the lead for the first time. 2-1. Brian Little gets the goal with assist to Nikolai Antropov and Andrew Ladd. Really, again, another instance where on the forecheck, the Jets cause a lot of havoc for the Islanders' defense that is simply not that good.
The Islanders' defense is awful, Drew. I mean, there's nothing else you can say. The Islanders' defense is just terrible. And it was, I mean, I can't imagine what happens when they play a team like Boston, which they did the other night. A big team, strong team, and with that unit, it's messy.
Exactly right. Ladd with the forecheck in behind the net, passes it from behind the net to Nikolai Antropov, who's on the sort of the right side of the ice. immediately passes it over to Little on the left side. Little, wide open net, banks it through. 2-1 Jets over the Islanders at that point.
Gorgeous play by Antropov. Great three-way passing play, but Antropov was the key there with a beautiful pass to Little, and Little puts it in. Little can score, and he puts it in, and just beautiful passing play, and the Islanders were a half step behind.
Rest of the second period, relatively uneventful. Mm-hmm. After 40 minutes, it was clear that the only reason that it was a 2-1 game is because Evgeny Nabokov was playing very well for the Islanders.
He was
keeping them in the game, and really, his saves in the second period is what enabled the third period to happen for the Islanders, and it started off very quickly in the third period. At the 22-second mark, John Tavares with the with the goal to tie it up at 2-2. Franz Nielsen with the assist on the play. Again, Toby Enstrom is victimized. He falls at the defensive blue line. He blows a tire. I mean, Rick Ralph, our good friend, said, he slipped on the very slippery ice. I mean, which is something only in the manner that Rick can do it. He blows a tire. John Tavares is in the top five of the best goal scorers in the NHL. He's not going to miss it on a breakaway opportunity very often.
Yeah, it was the wrong guy. I mean, you could pick any guy on the team that you would want to have that play, and you wouldn't pick if you're the Islanders anybody above Tavares. Enstrom falls. His worst game probably is a Jet that I've seen. Just couldn't do anything right tonight. And one of those nights, and Tavares came in and just sniped it. And I mean, Tavares was the best player on the ice tonight. And some of the Jets played really well, but Tavares was the best player on the ice. It was, to me, not even close. Every time he was on the ice, he created chances. He carries his line mates who are good, but he carries them. He creates immediately when he touches the puck. He's strong on the puck. His balance is great. He's got a good shot. He's a great passer. He's a real deal.
Islanders take the lead at the 409 mark rather of the third period. Matt Molson gets his goal from John Tavares and Travis Hamonic. Jets are bogged down in their own zone. You had mentioned that in the pregame show that you thought that line would cause trouble for the Jets defense.
Yeah.
They can't get it out of their own zone. Tavares is sort of skating across the blue line. He takes a good wrist shot, a good low wrist shot, and then Matt Molson in front of the net, really a long deflection, sort of out by the hash marks almost, deflects it past Al Montoya, and all of a sudden, a game that the Jets have been really controlling for the most part, they're down 3-2 at the 4:09 mark of the third period.
Yeah, it's kind of classic case. Again, Tavares looking great, and Molson going to the net. Molson goes to the net well, and he can score. He's got good hands, but a classic case of, there's never such thing as a bad shot.
Right.
You put the puck towards the net, especially from that far, and at a good trajectory. I mean, things happen, right? What's the worst that can happen? It's a rebound or the puck goes into the corner. So nice play by Tavares from a far away point to put the puck, in the danger area, and it paid off.
Exactly right. There's nothing bad that can happen there.
Yeah.
Something bad for the Jets happened 5 minutes later on the power play. Mark Streit from the point. He takes a point shot, a lot of traffic in front. He scores 4-2 Islanders at this point. Assist to Franz Nielsen and again John Tavares. It's 4-2. There's just over 10 minutes left in this game. The Jets have really not played at all for the first 10 minutes of the third period. And you're thinking, oh my, is this going to be a letdown game after the big win on Friday versus Pittsburgh?
At that point, you for sure are. I mean, Nielsen passes the puck to Strait. He's got a nice one-timer, and it goes right in. And you could say Montoya maybe should have had it. There was a screen, but it wasn't tipped. At that point, you're thinking to yourself, well, the Jets completely and totally dominated the first period. Should have been up 4-1, and they weren't. And you thought, they blew their chance. Very well may have blew their chance. But at the same time, on the other hand, you're thinking, hey, this Islanders team is brutal defensively. Not only are they bad on defense, their overall team defense isn't very good. So you're never out of it. And what happened to me, the turning point was not the Buffalo goal that we will speak about, but the Islanders penalty.
That's right. The Islanders took a penalty at about the 12:50 mark sort of the third period. Jets go on a power play. Dustin Byfuglien, really the heavy point shot, just a perfect shot in off the post and in, assist to Blake Wheeler and Evander Kane, and with just over 7 minutes to go in the game, the Jets are back in it. They're down 4-3 right now, and this MTS Center, which had been asleep, and the Jets, who'd even been more asleep, finally getting some life back into them and see if they can pull off the comeback.
Bob's been the best player for this team all year, and he's been a leader by his play more than anything. I know he's not that talkative in the room by all accounts, but I don't know if there's anybody in the league at this point in time that you would want over Byfuglien taking a point shot.
Especially on the power play.
Hard, strong, goes low, goes high, and he's been awesome.
But,
and we're fans of him, as you know, and That was a huge goal, and soon after.
Yeah. Well, before we get to that next, the tying goal, I mean, there was an incident, I think it was in the third period, where Buff was in front of the Islanders' net, and there were two guys on him, and neither of them, he just shoved them off. I mean, they had body position, they sort of had stick position. Yeah. It didn't matter. He's so strong that he still managed to get a good scoring opportunity away there.
I mean, one of the plays that stood out to me was in the Boston game when Milan Lucic basically took six steps and tried to run over Bufflin with his head down. And Lucic fell, and Lucic is monstrous. And you look at tonight, the Islanders are a small team. They had two guys on him, like you said, Drew. Like, no exaggeration. You can't move that guy off the puck. He's the strongest guy in the league for sure.
Yeah. Jets complete the comeback only a minute and 5 seconds after Dustin Bufflin's goal. Alex Burmistrov gets his first of the year. Credit to our colleague Ezra Ginsberg, who also called Burmistrov as his unsung hero and thought he'd get his first goal. Burmistrov, dipsy-doodling just inside of the offensive blue line, manages to make two Islanders players run into each other, gets some open space, and he fires a wrist shot. Thought Nabokov should have it?
Yeah, probably.
Anyways, scores the
touched
goal.
Touched it, so should have it.
Yeah, touched it, deflected in off his glove, probably one he wants back.
Yeah.
But Alex Burmistrov ties it up, and there's 5:56 left in the game, and at that point in time, it's, you know, 4-4.
Burmistrov, a couple of things. Crazy moves there, and the Islanders' film room will be a lot of circles on that iPad or whatever they use, because a lot of flybys by the Islanders guys, you know, instead of trying to hit him or playing the puck, they turned away. And that'll be in film class. But in terms of Burmistrov, did it very shifty, great play. Doesn't have a great shot, but what his shot is good when he has a lot of time to release it. And in that case, he got a lot of time to release it. And he scored a couple goals like that last year. He put a top corner. And whether Nabokov wants it back or not, a very good shot. Jets are 4-4. Place is going nuts. And at that point, it looked like the Islanders just wanted to put it into overtime to get a point, which they did.
That's right. Which they were, but you say that, but for the last 5 minutes of the game, of a tied game, where the Jets should have had all the momentum,
for sure.
I thought the Islanders sort of took it to the Jets, and their, you know, Al Montoya had to be sharp and make a couple saves there to ensure that the game did go to overtime.
I think it was near the end of the game, made a nice save on a slap shot by Oposo.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were. Drew, you make a good point. But the Islanders were going to make sure that they can give up three goals in a row before they got out of here with a point. So
that's right. So 4-4 at the end of regulation, they go to overtime. 4-on-4, you know, back and forth action, as we expect to see in an overtime period. After some chances in the Jets zone, the Jets come back. Olli Jokinen takes the pass from Ron Hainsey on the breakout play, skating down the left hand side of the ice, takes a good hard low shot. That Nabokov saves, rebound right to Evander Kane. First batted attempt, doesn't quite make it there. Took him a second attempt, just trickled it over the line. They had to review it, but Evander Kane scores the game, overtime winner at the 1:59 mark of overtime.
What stood out to me was how, if you look at the play, you know, visualize the play, and the puck is coming out of the Jets zone with Jokinen, and I'm telling you, Hickey and I think it was Tavares or whoever it was, they were both skating up the ice with Kane, and by the time the Jets hit the opposing blue line, Kane was three steps ahead of them, and he beat them to the front of the net, and he scored, and it was just his sheer speed, his acceleration, his power, his goal. And again, we've said it so many times, I mean, say what you will, the guy's a talent, drove to the net, played a motivated game tonight, was one of the Jets' best players, finished the game, and that's what a leader does, and by his play on the ice, I mean, he's taking the bull by the horns, and he went at it with Hamonic tonight. They went at each other all night, and gotta love Evander Kane's game.
Evander Kane and Travis Hamonic are two guys who clearly don't like each other. They did fight last year. They had a fight when the Jets played in Long Island, and they went at each other again today. Quote from Evander Kane post-game about the puck just crossing the line. His quote is, "Just like in football, all it needed to do was break the plane, and it was over." Not sure that's totally accurate. In hockey,
football, you just have to touch the plane.
Right. In hockey, it has
so you have to break the plane. You have to actually get over the line.
That's right. In hockey, it has to clearly get over the line, but it's a good quote anyways. He just gets it over. The Jets are happy to escape with a 5-4 win. And at the end of the first five games of the regular season, if you had said the Jets are going to be 3-1-1, there isn't anybody that's a Jets fan or in the Winnipeg Jets dressing room that wouldn't have gladly taken that.
Agreed.
Next action for the Winnipeg Jets is Tuesday night in Montreal. Then they play back-to-back Thursday, Friday in Tampa and Miami against the Florida Panthers. Back here at MTS Center the following Tuesday against the Florida Panthers. we encourage you, stay tuned to illegalcurve.com. We have some more post-game audio coming up for Richard Pollock and Michael Remus. I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Thank you for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.